one of the classic Grimm fairy tales that most of us grew up listening to is the story of the Frog Prince. Probably sounds familiar to most of you, especially those of you who still consider yourselves young at heart. But for those of you who need a reminder, the story of the Frog Prince goes something like this. There once was a little princess who had a favorite toy. Her favorite toy was this shiny golden ball. She would play with it for hours on end and walk into the woods to launch it high into the air and catch it again. High into the air and catch it again. One day the princess was out with her golden ball in the woods and threw it way up into the air. And then she heard it land, squish into a well, a deep well, a well too deep for her to go in after. And so she started to cry. She started to weep. She didn't know how in the world she was going to get her precious golden ball back. And then all of a sudden a little frog came to her, asked her why she was crying. And the princess told her that it was her favorite ball and there was no way for her to get it back. And so the frog and the princess made a deal. The frog said, "I'll get the ball for you if you give me something that I need the most. You give me acceptance. I'll get the ball for you, princess, if tonight at the dinner table of the golden banquet hall you will let me sit next to you for dinner. And if you let me eat from your golden plate, and then later tonight you need to let me sleep next to you on your royal pillow. Just give me acceptance. And if you do these things, if you promise to do these things, I'll get the ball back for you." Princess said, "Fine, just get my ball back." And so the frog did. Jumped into the well, got the ball back, handed it to the princess, and the princess said, "Fine, thank you very much," and went on her way. The frog wondered, "Well, what about our deal?" Well, later that day at the castle came a knock at the castle door. The servants opened it up, and there was a little frog right in front of the castle. Said, "What time's dinner?" Princess said, "Oh, no, I can't believe I made this deal." But she had to follow through. And so later on, during dinner, there was at the golden banquet hall, foreign dignitaries from all across the land, kings, queens, princesses, and, oh yes, a certain frog, eating at a certain spot on a certain golden plate. And later that night, the frog nestled in under the covers, sleeping warmly and soundly on the princess's royal pillow. Come dawn, the frog said thank you and went on his way. And the princess said, "Great, I have fulfilled my obligation to this lowly frog." But later on that day, the frog came for a second time to eat at the golden table, on the golden plate, to sleep on the royal pillow. And then the frog came back a third day to eat at the golden plate, to sleep on the royal pillow. And the princess said, "This is the last time I make a deal with lowly, miserable creatures like this frog. Why, all this frog needed was to get his little flipper into the door, and now I can't get him out. I bet what he did was he went off to his lily pad and told all of his frog family and friends about this sucker princess that lives in the castle. I bet I will see them now for the rest of my life. All they're doing is taking advantage of me." But you know how the story ends. After the third night, after the frog had eaten a third meal at the table and slept a third night on the princess's pillow, a remarkable transformation took place. As soon as dawn broke, the princess looked at the frog and saw that it wasn't a frog anymore. It was a very handsome prince. And the prince started to explain. Said, "Princess, thank you very much, because I have been put under a spell by a very wicked witch, and the only way that this spell could be broken is if a princess took me in and let me sleep on her pillow for 3 nights. You have freed me from my spell, Princess. Thank you very much." And you know how these fairy tales end. The prince and the princess lived what? Happily ever after. It's a good story. But I have a better story to share with you. A story that's told by another storyteller about a place not long, long ago and far away, but a place in Jesus' time. Jesus told a story to his followers, and it goes something like this. He said, "There will be a time in the future when the king will gather people from all over the place for final judgment before the throne." And Jesus said, "The king will judge all the people based on this. The king will say, 'Did you feed the hungry? Did you shelter the homeless? Did you clothe the naked? Did you care for the sick? Did you visit the imprisoned?' In short, the king will ask, 'Did you care for the frogs of the world?'" The story goes that there will be some in the final days who will be able to say with a smile on their face that they did just that. They cared for the people who were rejected and despised. The king will say, "You are the sheep," and welcome them into heaven. But Jesus says there will be those on the other side who will say that they did not care for any of these people. They showed indignation and rejection for these people. And the king will say, "Well, you are the goats," and will usher them into eternal punishment. But you know, this story has an interesting twist. And the twist is that both of these groups of people, the sheep and the goats, have something in common, that they both had no idea what it was that they were really doing. They both could claim ignorance for their acts. They both could say that they didn't know that any of these rejected people were actually Jesus himself. For they will both say, as it says in the scriptures, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Some story. Maybe it's not as exciting as the Frog Prince. Maybe it doesn't end as happily, because not everybody in Jesus' story lives happily ever after. But I think it's a very important story, one of the most important, because it is a story about God for us, for the church. You know, I'm very interested in the fact that Matthew is the only gospel writer to mention this story. Out of all four gospels, this story is only found in Matthew, which makes me believe that Matthew had a very particular reason for sharing this story to his audience. Let me tell you a little bit about the community of Matthew. They were all wondering in Matthew's time, when will Jesus come back? It has been decades now since Jesus went up and ascended, but we haven't seen Jesus yet. He promised he would come back, but Jesus hasn't returned. We've heard about the second coming, but Jesus is nowhere to be found. Matthew knows this is a very deep concern for the church in his time, that Jesus promised he would come back, but Jesus was nowhere to be found. I can't say that Matthew's community is alone, because you know that in recent months, come the turn of the millennium, people in the church have been asking the same thing. Come the year 2000, we know Jesus is going to come back. But now, since it's the year 2000, people are wondering, well, when will Jesus come back? He has been promised to return, but he is not yet here. Where is Jesus? So I think this is the reason Matthew chooses to tell this story to his people, because he has this message to give them. He says, don't wait for Jesus to come back, because Jesus is already here. Jesus is already here. That's right. You don't need to wait for the second coming of Christ to get a glimpse of the Messiah. Matthew says you only need to look in the eyes of the destitute on Tennessee Street, into the faces of the poor people who are around us, or maybe within this church this morning. You only need to look at the drug addict that might be next door, or to drive by the area prison, or the crack baby, or those dying with HIV, or the man on death row, or the needy on the street. And if you look at them, Matthew says, then you'll see Jesus. And you better look carefully, and you better look hard, or else all you will see is the frogs, and you may miss the Prince of Peace. Yes, it's true. It is true that Christ will come again, but it is also true that Christ is already here. God is among us and with us. Emmanuel still exists. And I know that there have been many times that we have unwittingly missed the opportunity to catch a glimpse of the Messiah because we want to preserve ourselves or we have stereotypes about the poor. There are many reasons that we give for not reaching out to the frogs in our lives. And realize that I preach to myself as well as to all of you when I say that the reasons are many. Reasons like, well, if we give them a handout once, they'll just be back for more. They'll never learn to be self-sufficient. Or maybe you've heard or said, they'll just take the money and buy drugs or alcohol or lottery tickets. Or it's their fault they have AIDS, or they're in prison, or they're in death row. Or, I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Or I don't have the means. And slowly but surely, our excuses line up, just like the priest and the Levite in the Good Samaritan story. And all the while, we who are waiting for Jesus to come again miss out on a chance to see Jesus himself. Tony Campolo told a story in one of his books, published in 1986, about a time that he was teaching a class and was trying to get some discussion going. So he asked a very provocative question to his students. He asked them what some of the world's great religious leaders would say about the degrading practice of prostitution. They talked about the Buddha's views, Muhammad's views, the views expressed in the Torah. And finally, Tony asked the class, and what do you suppose Jesus would have said to a prostitute? Hushed silence. Finally, one of the Jewish students spoke up. And the student said, Dr. Campolo, Jesus never met a prostitute. Dr. Campolo was stunned. He said, well, yes, of course. I'll show you in the Bible where Jesus... But the student interrupted. Dr. Campolo, you didn't hear me. I said, Jesus never met a prostitute. Do you think that when he looked at Mary Magdalene, he saw a prostitute? Doctor, listen to me. Jesus never met a prostitute. He met a daughter of God. Tony concludes that this Jewish student knew a lot more about Christian theology than he did. And he continues to write by saying, to be a Christian is to learn to see people as Christ sees them. The prostitute becomes a sister. The corrupt politician becomes a brother. The drug addict becomes a priest in the priesthood of all believers. What a risk. What a risk to look at people in this way, to see the good that is in them, not the bad, to see the imago Dei, the image of God in each person, because each person created by God has the image of God within them. That is the way God designed it at the beginning. But we must take this risk, the risk to reach out to other people, because that is the same risk that God took with us. Because God took a look at us and didn't see frogs. Even though we were frog-like, wallowing in our sin and our despair, dying because of the curse that had been placed upon us, that covered up our image of God and made us reptilian-like in our sin. But God looked through that and sent us a Savior who became one of us and died on the cross and rose triumphantly on the third day. And because of that, we're not frogs anymore. Just like the prince, we are royalty. We are children of God. That's the way God intended it. How good it is that God still takes risk for the world. To see through the wretched facade of people in order to teach them grace and mercy. And brothers and sisters, that's what we gotta do. We gotta look at the frogs of the world and see them the way Christ sees them. To see the very Christ in them and reach out to them. Do we dare to look for Jesus among the horrible and the ugly? Do we dare to care for the least of these? Do we dare find the Prince of Peace among the frogs of the world? In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.